I have some Christmas greetings from that I'd like to share with you. The first one is from our Lynx missionary, and her name is Barbara Messner. And if you don't know what a Lynx missionary is, each church on the district has missionaries, and we kind of treat them anytime Christmas, birthdays, we do special things for them. And here's a message from her. Christmas greetings. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When the angel announced to Mary the birth of her child, she was to give him the name Jesus. His name is the name above all names. As we celebrate once again the birth of Jesus, let us continue to depend upon Jesus and adore him as the shepherds and angels did long ago. I am in my second year of retirement. I have done a few mission services, and I'm volunteering at the Jesus film Harvest Partners. I enjoy having time to visit my family, Scott in Calgary, Kathy in Burbank, and Mother and Bill and Judy in Oskaloosa. The highlight of the year was celebrating the 90th birthday of my mother. Scott, Kathy, Jose, and I will go to Iowa to spend Christmas with our family there. We wish you special Christmas blessings and pray that you will have the spirit of Christmas throughout 2015. And then I have something else that I hope we can get on the screen. And this is from Bipool, one of our sponsored children. And he sent this to us, and I thought you guys would like to see it. It says, "Dear sponsor, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. May God bless you. Pray for me," he says. Thank you. And also, if any of you guys are interested in writing letters to our sponsored children, come and see me, because I think they would love to get letters from us.
Thank you, Carolyn. Pastor, I don't want to put you to work, but we have a candle lighting thing to do up here, I think, today. Brother John, our Gideon representative, called and contacted Ed and Debbie and said we had a person won to the Lord. And so we need to light that candle. Isn't it a blessing when someone comes into the kingdom of God? Thank you, Pastor Gary. He's got a vacation, but not. I think a couple of his have ended that way this year, but we appreciate having them and all of the family and all of you that are visitors here with us today. And at this time, we're going to ask our ushers to come. We're going to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Pat, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Father, we're extremely grateful for how you bless us throughout the entire year, but especially this time of year, Lord, as we celebrate your birth, we think especially of the gift, the greatest gift that you came and gave to us at this time of year. We thank you for that gift this morning. We thank you, Lord, as you bestow gifts upon us that we're able to share back with you our blessings. Lord, as we give a blessing back to you this morning, we ask you to further thy kingdom. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Join us.
We will remember. We will remember. We will remember the works of your hand. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. We will remember. We will remember. We will remember the works of your hand. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. You're our Creator, our life sustainer, deliverer, our comfort, our joy. Throughout the ages, you've been our shelter, our peace in the midst of the storm. precious blood, you showed us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator,
the giver of life with the grace.
We will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise.
Darkness slain, in mercy fall, His throne is there.
Of you believe God answers prayer?
Amen.
Have you had prayer answered in your life in this last week? Has God come and done something special for you? As we pray together today, like to look to the throne of grace, expecting from God, expecting answers to our prayers. We have several that are ill. Ted is ill today and unable to be with us. Bert fell this last Sunday and fractured a hip. She's in the Maples now in rehab. We need to remember her, and I probably have forgotten. Are there other requests that you'd like to make known this morning? Okay. Debbie Brandstein's mother and that family. Debbie's brother, yes. No, there are some that are still struggling with back problems and are facing going to the doctor this week. And if you've never had back problems, you are very blessed and fortunate. If you have had back problems, you know what I'm talking about, and you need relief. After it's with you so long, you don't care how you get relief, just so it comes. Are there others?
Yes. I would like to point out that Debbie's family has not yet told her mother about her brother's health situation.
Okay.
So if you would not repeat that to her mother, it would be very much appreciated.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Bob? Okay. Okay. Some loss. Okay. Let's stand together for our prayer time. We're so glad that every one of you are here today. We have some visitors with us that haven't been with us for a while. And we're glad that they're here. And let's just join our hearts right now in going to the Father to ask for help in these situations. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we know, Lord, beyond any shadow of a doubt, we need you to work in hearts and lives today. Father, we give you thanks for the answered prayers that have already come our way. We're so blessed in a personal way when you answer our prayers. But Lord, in the body of Christ, there is need today. There is healing need, and we call upon you right now to come and to touch those that have physical problems. And Lord, there are spiritual needs that we have to recognize today, and we need your help. We need your touch. We need your answers to our prayers. And then, Lord, we would pray for this service. We ask you to come. We seek the Holy Spirit and His direction and His leadership in this service. Lord, as we look toward a new year, our world seems to be filled with confusion. Our world seems to be on the brink of catastrophe. And Lord, we don't understand it all, but we serve a God who answers prayer, who can bring to fruition your plans. And Lord, we are convinced this morning that you're bringing your plan to fruition. A lot of things we don't understand, a lot of things we can't even begin to comprehend, but you are Lord of all. You have the power to answer prayer and bring about what needs to happen in our world. Lord, help us this day to pray for lost souls and to be interested in what happens to our fellow man, and to reach out with the love of Jesus Christ. Bless the service. Anoint it with your divine holy presence. We pray in the name of Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. How many of you had a great Christmas? How many of you had a blessed Christmas? Some of you got left out. I don't know where, or when, or how, but not everybody held their hand up. We journeyed to our daughters, and then journeyed to Kansas City, and then we journeyed from Kansas City back to our daughters, and then we journeyed from our daughters back home, and in all of that, we got to see all of our family except our son. So we were thankful for that. Appreciate so much the Christmas time. Do you like Christmas? Do you love Christmas? I can't hardly wait. I'd like to have the Christmas tree up all year round. I'm one of those kind of people, yes. And my wife will tell you, I will not take the Christmas tree down till after New Year's Day. Because there's just something special about the birth of Jesus Christ. But it's more than that. There's something special about the Christ in every way. As I prepared for today, I was thinking about Jesus and the difference that he makes in hearts and lives. Jesus made a difference in your life. Does he continue to make a difference in your life? I'm going to read to you in just a moment here from the 9th chapter of the book of John about the change that Jesus made in one man's life and the far-reaching circumstances that took place there. John, the 9th chapter, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. Give you just a moment. My wife says I never give people time enough to get their Bible open. So and we're going to stay pretty well within this 9th chapter of the book of John today. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, now for you that are delicate, why don't pay attention to the word spit here. He spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it now that he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how can he see now, or who opened his eyes? We don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. Father, we ask your blessing on the reading of your word today. In Christ's name, amen. This man had an experience with Jesus Christ. That's going to try to be what I convey to you today. Your experience with Jesus Christ, your personal experience with him, means something to you. My personal experience with Jesus Christ means something to me. And there were doubters that were around, as you have already heard me read. Jesus Christ experienced in our lives is not just a man. He's the living reality of God with us. As you think about your experience, when I was 7 years of age, God knocked on my heart's door. I answered that knock. I went forward to the altar and accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, I'm quite a bit older than seven now, but I still remember the time. I still remember the place. I still remember the altar where I knelt. I still remember the creek where I was baptized a week later. All of those things are not because I met some man, but because I met Jesus Christ. Several years later, in a time when I was going through some difficulties, I asked the Holy Spirit to take control of my life. He brought a peace to my heart and to my life that has never left. You see, he was more than a man. He was God manifest in the Holy Spirit, coming to take control of my heart and my life. Several years after that, after Ruth and I were married and pastoring, I had an appendicitis attack. The doctor came to the house. That tells you how old I am. The doctor came to the house and he said, if you're not better in the morning, you're facing surgery. And I said, doctor, can't afford surgery. And he said, well, you don't have to worry about my bill, but you'll have to pay the hospital. The people at the church, that was a Sunday evening, people at the church prayed for me, and the next morning, guess what? I don't know how God did it, but it was a personal experience of healing. Because as far as I know, that old appendix is still there unless God just flipped it out and it's gone. And I've never had surgery. You see, when we come into a personal experience with Jesus Christ, whether it's healing, whether it's a change of our lives in being born again, or the Holy Spirit comes and touches us with the hand of fire and makes us what we should be inside and out, it makes a difference. You see, the personal experience is what's important in knowing Jesus Christ and what Jesus is doing in hearts and in lives. If you would go to that blind man, if it were possible to go to that blind man today and say, "What happened to you?" Can you guess what his answer would be? "I was blind, but now I see." You see, it was a personal experience for him in coming in contact with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe, and I believe the Bible teaches, that Jesus made a difference in his life from that moment forward. If you read on over there in the last part of that ninth verse, or ninth chapter, they threw him out of the synagogue. He wasn't accepted any longer. Here he is. He's had a miracle in his life. And the religious leader said, "We don't like you anymore." You know what? That's the kind of religious experience I want to have and keep in my life. So that when those that are around will know that something happened and that Jesus made a change in my heart and my life. The New Testament truth becomes a reality when the experience is a personal one for you and I. You'd never convince that blind man till the day he left this old world that he didn't have a personal experience with Jesus, the Son of the living God. You think it made a difference in the way he lived from that day forward? Can you see him by the side of the road begging? That's all he had known from his birth. That's all he had known since he was a small, small child. And he had reached some sort of age line because his parents said, "He's of age. You ask him what happened to him. Let him tell you." You see, from that day forward, he saw. He didn't have to say, "Boy, I wish I could see the blue sky." He didn't say, "I wish I could see the flowers." He didn't have to say, "I wish I could see my mom and dad." He'd never met his parents eye to eye. Can you imagine a miracle like that? Can you picture in your mind's eye what a difference that it made to this man that he had come in contact with Jesus Christ? Oh, there are several New Testament truths where God takes a man named Peter, leads him from denial to being a living testimony for the Lord. Tradition says he was crucified upside down. Can you picture Paul, a cold-hearted persecutor of the Church of Jesus Christ, putting people in jail just for saying they believed in the Lord? By the way, in our world today, there are people that are being persecuted for saying Jesus Christ is Lord in their lives. And we need to pray for the persecuted church today. But Paul, that cold-hearted persecutor, became a loving, caring minister of truth for Jesus Christ because his personal experience meeting the Lord on the road to Damascus. Or we could look at Zacchaeus. What kind of a reputation did he have? Not a very good one, did he? Thief? Well, probably considered by some. Taking money that was not owed. And Zacchaeus suddenly became a person who was open to giving to the needy because of his personal experience with Jesus Christ. What about Mary Magdalene? Her life was filled with sin. Then she met the Lord. And she began sharing the living Lord with her community. But here we are today. How about you? How about me? Have we been touched by the Spirit of the Christ to do His bidding and carrying out His plan in our hearts and lives? You know, sometimes our knowledge and our understanding concerning God the Creator confuses us. You ever been confused about reading things in the Bible? Do you understand all of it? If you do, well, let me know because I need help. I don't understand all of it. I don't understand some of the things that happen. The Scripture calls Him the God of all comfort, who brings comfort to those who are hurting and those who have been hurt. Probably every one of you here have been hurt or are hurting. But it also says He's the God of judgment if you reject His plan of salvation. Where do we weigh things? How do we see things? I don't understand it all, but I know that He is a God of love and that He cares for you and He cares for me. And He cared for that blind man that day so that he enjoyed a personal experience with the Lord Himself. What's going to make a change in our lives? What has made a change in my life? What's going to make a change in your life? Or what has made a change in your life? It's your personal experience with Jesus Christ the Lord. Like I said, there's a lot we don't understand. But we are not confused about His love for all. We see in our society today those who degrade life and hurt and cheapen the things that in years gone by have been pretty important. There are those who would cheapen the sanctity of marriage. There are moral standards that have been lowered, and rights and wrongs are blurred, and there are excesses and indecencies that find their way into the public spotlight, and you see the focus of the newscast on all those things. You ever ask yourself, when is something going to be done about all these things that are taking place in society? You want to do something about them? I tell you what, it's going to take more than a political move to move society from where it is to where it needs to be. It's going to take an act, a personal act of Jesus Christ in the hearts and lives of boys and girls, men and women, the world around, for our world to change. Not going to change through some political party. Regardless of what political party you may be involved with. When is something going to be done? It's hard to understand when common decency is mocked and lives are cheapened and people are beheaded on films just to focus on a political ideal. God's plan is being carried out. I assure you of that. God hasn't come down off the throne and said, well, you people are destroying everything. God is still there. God's still in control. And folks, when you see the lightning flash that comes from the east and goes all the way to the west, you won't need anybody to tell you that Jesus has come back to claim his own. You won't need anybody to give you a special Bible reading so that you'll be up to date. Every eye will see, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God is fulfilling his promises. And the mark of his divine nature, he's giving everyone time to turn to him. Now, the church today is being accused of being haters. I want you to know today that God hates sin, but God loves every sinner, regardless of where they may be on the moral standard. It's not a matter of Christians hating people. We love people. If we have God's love in our hearts and lives, we love the sinner, and we're going to do what we can to see that they allow Jesus Christ to come into their lives, to experience him like the blind man did, like I did, to make a change. Believers' lives are changed. But believers and the church must live in an antagonistic world. It's hard to bring those two things together. In fact, it's impossible for us to bring those two things together. They can only be done when there's a change in hearts and lives, when the Lord Jesus Christ is allowed to work in hearts and lives. You'd have a hard time telling that blind man that something didn't happen to him. In fact, the world all around him knew that something had happened to him. They questioned, how did this happen? What's taking place here? And the change in hearts and lives of individuals today is no different than the miracle that Jesus wrought for that blind man. He brings light. He brings help. He brings direction. The desires for holy living in our hearts and lives causes us to want to smooth the raging waters that are around us. You ever been out on any rough water? I drove a bass boat through some waves that were so high that the fellow that was with me broke the seat that he was sitting on, being thrown back against the back of the seat. He said, you're going to kill us. Well, I didn't. He still broke the seat in my boat. I've tried to forgive him for that. But he was a preacher, so I just said, oh, well, you know. Is your heart disturbed by the demonic atrocities that you see in your world? You see, the devil's alive and well too. And he's doing everything he can to destroy the works of God. Do we look for the good and the right things to be made manifest? Do we struggle with the wrongs that surround us? Satan's an expert at causing people to rationalize things. You know, well, that's just the way things are. No. That's not the way things have to be when Jesus makes a change. There's no pastel shades in Christian ethics. They're distinct and clear and acute and cutting. There is a contrast between good and evil as sharp as black and white. And we cannot say it makes a little difference. I really enjoyed reading over the testimony of the blind man. He said, guys, I can't tell you who he is. I call him Jesus. I can't say whether he's a sinner or not. But fellas, where I could not see or tell the difference between night and day, I see. You see, that personal experience made all the difference in his life. We're told today that situational ethics are an option for the way we live our Christian life. I submit to you, the blind man never said situational ethics apply in this case. I was blind and now I see. I was a sinner and I am changed. God is in control, working in our lives. He's acutely aware of what the church is facing. Absolutes still exist. They're still right and they're still wrong. There's still decency that versus indecency. There's virtue that versus sin. The lines are clearly drawn. Christian faith is not to arrive at a place, but it must stand in the conflict. Questions. You have questions today? Where do we stand in this conflict of right and wrong? The inevitable consequence of holy living in Jesus is facing the wrong and standing for right. And the church is called to take that stand, just like that fellow was. Whenever they started talking to him, the 34th verse is one of those verses I wanted to read to you in this ninth chapter. To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. That was a pretty hard deal for him. This was the synagogue. This was where everybody worshiped. And he got tossed out because of his experience in Jesus Christ. You think there was a conflict there? I'd say there surely was. Pretty close to being a conflict. And so when we live in a Christ-like way of living, there's going to be some conflicts with a world that hates Christ. We must let go of our selfish desires and do our best to please the Lord. Jesus marked the road for us. In the book of Psalms, it talks about a light unto our path. We must enter at the narrow gate. For wide is the gate that leads to destruction. What is God's will for me in 2015? What's God's will for you in 2015? I submit to you that it is taking the experience of Jesus Christ . It's not what others are doing. It's what you're doing with your life. It's what I'm doing with my life. It's not just the decent thing to do. It's what would Jesus do in the situation that we're going to face in 2015. They had those little bracelets several years ago that said, "What would Jesus do?" As we go toward a new year, I want that to be written on my heart. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? What is God's will for us? Not stubborn insistence on my way or what I want, but what God wants goes beyond us. To others. Did you know that? Someone's watching your life. Someone's watching my life. What are they looking for? They're looking for the hope that Jesus brought in a personal experience with the blind man in this passage that I read. All of life must ultimately come under the will of God. We cannot be complacent or compromise the truth. We must walk with God and see things as more than just making a change. Or you see, it's as different as being able to see or not being able to see. The Lord made the difference. When God moves into lives and living, something is going to happen. We must yield and submit ourselves to be changed, led by His hand. Or we can shut the door and say, "No, I don't want to see. I don't want to experience you in my heart and in my What you do with Jesus is the way that your life will be formed in 2015. I think that I would like to choose with the formerly blind man who said, "I was blind, but now I see." Praise God. Praise God. You think his prayers weren't answered that day? Oh, all the difference in the world Jesus made in a personal experience. And only Jesus can bring the personal experience that will make us what we should be if we are to follow him. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for being here today. Pray that God will bless you. Our Heavenly Father, as we close this service today, we thank you for every person that's here. It's our prayer today, Lord, that everyone that's here will make a commitment to experience Jesus Christ in a personal way, in their own lives. Not to say, "Hey, look at me," but to say, "Hey, look at Jesus. He's the living Lord. He is the answer to prayer. He brings hope and help, even in the worst situation, so that when we experience Him, O God, may we be able to see In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We'll be back tonight for those of you that are not in small groups here at 6 o'clock. Invite you to come. Thank you. God